The Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Now, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As the weather turns towards spring here in Minnesota, I am just itching to get my bicycle out. But the sun has been deceiving these last couple days, and I think it needs to get just a little warmer for me. And soon I'll get a chance to try the Loose Line Trail. My favorite bike trip ever was a day on the Elroy Sparta bike trail down in La Crosse, near La Crosse, Wisconsin. Has anybody ever been down there? You can walk it or bike or, yeah, okay, a few. Cross-country skiing. Well, this is considered the first rail-to-trail system in the United States. So what the DNR did was they took an old train line and they ripped up the rails and then they put a recreational trail. And what makes it so special is that it goes right through the old train tunnels. So on this 30-mile stretch, there are three gigantic tunnels. And the longest is about 3/4 of a mile long. So they are, you know, pretty intense. And I, as we were going through, was kind of nervous about going through these tunnels. They were incredibly dark, and I was back in high school. No one told us to bring headlights, and so I was worried that I was going to end up in like the world's most gigantic spider web or something, you know, like when you just, So what got me through these tunnels was quite literally the light at the end of the tunnel. But the light in both directions, not only the way that I was headed, but also the way behind me. You see, at any given moment, I could turn around and go back to the way I came, go back to safety. But if I kept looking forward, the light that I was going towards was getting bigger and bigger, and it was very reassuring. So I would look forward, and it would give me hope, and I'd look backward, and it would give me encouragement. Looking both ways helped me get through the moment in the middle. Now, this tunnel is a metaphor for our whole life, because every moment we live in the middle. We cannot go back and relish in the past or fix mistakes. And we cannot jump forward to a brighter future. We've got to live in the moment in the middle, right here and right now. And sometimes working through our present situations can be just plain hard. But as people of faith, we know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, a light at both ends of the tunnel. When we look back, we can use our sacred stories and rely on the faith of our ancestors, our personal saints, as encouragement to get us through. And we can look forward to all of the promises of new life and everlasting love and, as we say in the Creed, the resurrection of the body. Our life of faith is all about looking both ways to get us through. Let's take a look at how this plays out in our gospel story. This idea that this story is about looking both ways comes from the commentator Robert Kaiser in the Feasting on the Word commentary. In his writing, he is talking about this story as it plays out in the Gospel of Mark, but I think it applies to the Gospel of John too, and this is one of the stories, one of the few, that ends up in every single gospel with different details. So what's happening in this version is that Mary and Martha and Lazarus are throwing a dinner party for Jesus to thank him for raising Lazarus from the dead. And at this dinner, we've heard the story where they would wash feet and everybody is wearing sandals and they're reclined. And Mary does something, though, unusual. And she washes Jesus' feet. She anoints them with oil and then wipes them with her hair. It's a beautiful and vulnerable act of deep devotion. But it's also kind of weird and a little scandalous. But we will get to that in a moment. The text doesn't say why she does this, but I can't help but imagine that it is in gratitude for all that Jesus has done for her and her family. Mary looks back. She looks back at the light that Jesus shines on her life. She sees his teachings and his signs, and she knows that he is the real deal. He is the Messiah. And the Messiah is the anointed one. So in this moment, she is going to anoint him. She knows who he really is by all that he has done before. We do this in our life all the time. We look back and then we make a decision of what to do right now, right? If you're going to give somebody a job promotion, you look back at their previous performance and say, okay, I think they can handle more responsibility. We do this action all the time. And you might be thinking, it's really not that profound. But I think that when we use this as a tool to look back on our life of faith, it can be pretty extraordinary. So imagine for a moment a time when you felt especially loved, where you felt entirely or at peace, or where you felt invigorated and especially alive. In those moments, God was present with you. God was up to something. And this recognition that God has been walking with us this whole time can help us feel more grounded in God's presence in this moment. And this idea is not totally original to me. This really has been inspired by our most recent Faith and Life speaker, Dr. Tom Wagner. You can go back and find his talk on the Faith and Life website. But what he argues is that the more we exercise this muscle of looking back over our life for where God has been present, it helps us recognize God in the future. And then when we're more able to see God right in front of us, we're more able to serve God as God shows up in the face of our neighbor. We're more able to be loved and share love with those around us. It can make us a better neighbor and friend, romantic partner, or parent. So if you're following with me on the tunnel, we've looked behind us, and now we're going to look ahead of us. In the story of Mary and Jesus, Mary also looks forward to what Jesus is going to do. She bought this oil for the day of Jesus' burial, which is interesting. She must have known something is coming. Jesus is going to die. But she knows that it is not the end. She knows that his death is going to bring about new life for everybody. She has seen it with her own eyes, heard it with her own ears. Jesus brings people back to life. So Mary trusts that Jesus is about more for her and her family. She knows that she does not have to be afraid of death itself. And so Mary anoints Jesus in this present moment, thanking him for being the Messiah, thanking him for being the one that leads to new life. And she anoints him with her hair. This is a scandalous display of public affection. In this culture, in this time, women would always have their hair covered and back. If you think of like nativity plays, right? The little one who plays Mary always has that head covering, you know? That was cultural. And so it was considered indecent if a woman would take out her hair in such a public way. And so when I see Mary's brave act, I think that it's as if she's saying, I don't care what you think of me. I don't care about these special social rules. I don't care if you never associate with me again. I'm going to be just fine. I have new life in Jesus, and right now, he is all I need. Mary's brave act encourages us to be bold and be daring with our devotion to Jesus and our gratitude and our love and affection right here and now. It encourages us that when we look forward, we don't have to be afraid. We're just like Mary. We have new life in Jesus. So what have we got to lose? I hope that this story helps us live in ways that are unafraid and unashamed. So, as we finish our journey through this tunnel, may our lives, may these moments in the middle be fulfilling as we look both ways. May we look backward behind us to see all that God has done and built resilience in us to face whatever comes. And may we look forward to see how God's love and grace is shining upon us and will forever in this life and in the next. God's love and grace will always be shining on us like lights at the end of a tunnel. Amen.